Hi, welcome to episode 2 of season 4, I guess. I don't know. I'm not really keeping track. Kind of am. Of In the Weeds. Today is February 3rd, and we are recording live again from Birdneck Cycle. So, thanks, Eric, for letting me do this at work, even though you might not know that I'm doing this at work. But that's okay. Birdneck Cycle is located in Virginia Beach. It was established in 1984 by Dennis McKee. And after Dennis passed, Eric took over the shop, and me and him have been running it ever since. So it's been about a year and a half now. And the reason why I bring that up is, you know, I was thinking today of how lucky I am. And to be fair, you know, this is my job, and I don't like working, so I complain about my job, but I'm fucking really, really lucky to work in a really laid-back, cool motorcycle shop where I can do things like build choppers. If you followed along on the Instagram for Birdneck Cycle, back in December, I decided that I was going to part out a, like, fat tire, Jesse James 2000 style chopper and kind of update it. So I ordered all my parts, had them shipped to work, of course, and put the bike together in a couple of weeks. I could only do that because I work in a shop. You know, there's no way that I'd be able to afford to use the parts that I did if I had to pay retail. New, at least. I'd have to find used ones or use other parts. So that bike really only exists because of this shop and because I work here. So I am so grateful for that. And sometimes I don't think I maybe show that gratitude because, well, I'm at work and I bitch about my job, just like you do, I'm sure. You know, if I wasn't getting paid to be here, would I be here every day for, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day? Yeah, probably not. You know, I'm sure I'd come and hang out once in a while, but, you know, I'm here Monday through Friday, 10 to 6 at a minimum, usually a lot more than that. And I enjoy what I do, but it's still a job. You know, would I rather be at home smoking weed and building choppers in my garage? Yeah, of course. I mean, who wouldn't, right? But it's all good. And I don't even smoke that much weed, to be honest. But I can because I'm no longer employed by the government and getting randomly drug tested, which is pretty fucking awesome. And I can grow a sweet beard. So these are all things in my life in the last 2 years that have drastically improved over the 22 and a half years I spent being in the Navy and being told what to do and where to go and when to be there. So, yeah, not to ramble, but I ramble. You know that. That's why you listen, right? See what kind of crazy shit I'm going to say today. So as far as topics go, you know, I kind of went to a little bit of a dark place with the social media thing, and I think that I just kind of reached a boiling point. And, you know, so I decided that I was just going to delete everything. And I deleted my Instagram account. One of the things, and just like Facebook, that they do, when you delete it, they give you like a 30-day cooldown period. So, you know, if you get pissed off and you delete the app and delete your profile, if you log back in, it's like you never left. Obviously, that's a way to keep you on the hook. And I was having a discussion with Rob, a.k.a. Odd Rob, down in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was talking about our frustrations with Instagram, right, as photographers especially, because you want your work to be seen, right? I mean, it's no point in, I shouldn't say there's no point in doing it if nobody sees it. There's still a point in doing that, and there's something to be said for that. But if you want people to see your work, you know, Instagram, unfortunately, is like the best platform for that. Love it or hate it, it is what it is, right? So, you know, I said that there was something too when you wanted to look at motorcycle pictures or lifestyle photos or band photos or whatever it was, you know, you used to have to put work into it. And there's something to be said for that, because the people that were seeing your work were people that were seeking it, which is a lot different than how it is now, right? So, but I, you know, I joked and I said that as photographers, we went from being pimps to basically being hoes. You know, Mark Zuckerberg has turned us into his little content creating hoes for him, which is just sad. So we're out here turning tricks, trying to make a buck just like everybody else now, you know? Whereas, like, there used to be a lot of prestige in being a photographer, especially, like, an event photographer, where you had kind of special access and probably had access to better equipment than what the average person was using. You know, being a professional photographer was a thing. And now, like, what really separates a professional photographer from an amateur photographer to a hobbyist to a casual photographer? I mean, there's really nothing that separates us anymore. You know, the playing field is drastically leveled when it comes to equipment. When I first got into photography in the 90s, I think it was the F4 was like the Haas, you know, 35 mil camera. And then a lot of guys or photographers were shooting medium format cameras. So like if you look back at old skate magazines from the 90s before, you know, they went digital, you saw a lot of things that were shot with like Hasselblads, which was a square format, medium format, big negative, 2 1/4 inch negative, with like a fisheye lens. That was a really popular setup, but that was ungodly expensive, and they're expensive now. For a while, prices dipped on Hasselblad equipment, but they've come right back up. But they're still not where they were in the 90s when that camera was in demand and still being produced. Yeah, Hasselblad might still be making film cameras. I'm not sure. I don't keep up with that anymore. But, you know, a Nikon F4 and F3, I think, was still maybe still in production. But, I mean, the F4 for sure, and later the F5, you know, those were over $1,000. And that's $1,000 in 1990s money, which is probably, I don't know what the rate of inflation is, but it would be over $2,000 now if you account for inflation. And they might have been closer to the $2,000 range. Point being is that professional-grade equipment was really expensive. And you've never needed professional-grade equipment to make great photos. You could use... You know, a lot of my friends in high school, when we took photo class, were using cameras that were hand-me-downs from their parents, you know, which were the popular amateur cameras from the 70s, which are even popular now. The Canon AE-1, there's a lot of those in my class. Nikon FEs, FM-2s, FMs, and, of course, the Pentax K1000. You know, those were the cameras that we were using. And they weren't cheap. You know, that was probably comparable to what a entry-level digital, you know, SLR-type camera is now. And I completely forgot where I was going with this. So the difference between being a pro and being an amateur. You know, you could still do good photos, but, like, things like slide film, which has never been cheap, never been easy to process. Well, I guess if you have access, you can process it at home, which I've heard isn't terribly difficult. But, you know, like slides were expensive. Getting it processed was expensive. And then you had to get your slides mounted. And then, like, what did you do with slides, you know? Have slideshows, which I do remember family slideshows. They weren't our family. My family was too cheap for that shit. We had, like, the prints that you'd get from like, Rite Aid. You know, bring your film in and pick it up an hour later with 4x6 prints. And most of them were bad. So yeah, being a photographer now, you know, I guess the only thing that separates being a professional photographer, and by professional photographer, I mean somebody that like gets paid and makes their living doing this full time. There's very few professional photographers out there that are living off of their income from photography. You know, they may supplement their income, but most photographers, you know, majority of photographers that were even on the higher spectrum of, like, I guess being well known, had day jobs. Supporting yourself off of photography, unless you were doing weddings, portraits, or fashion, was really difficult. So, yeah, it's a weird time to be a photographer. But now, you know, anybody can take a great photo with, you know, the phone that's in their pocket. So the need for dedicated photographers isn't really there anymore. There's not a huge demand for it. Except for a small market of, you know, photo enthusiasts that actually support photographers. And those are the people that are buying prints and buying books or zines. And they're doing it generally because they love photos and they support photographers. So, you know, but that's not, those people aren't Instagram, you know, like there are, you know, people like that that use Instagram, but the majority of Instagram people aren't. And now that they've shifted more to like a TikTok type platform with the reels and everything, it's even less so. So it's cool. You've got fucking 5,000 followers. Out of that 5,000 followers, you're lucky if you have interactions with 200 or 300 of them, unless you're a boss, and then, you know, maybe you're doing better than that. But yeah, so Instagram is not a great platform. But it's the best that we have, so you can't really bitch about it, right? Anyway, so I took a break and deleted everything. I think by Monday I was back on. Fell off the wagon. But I didn't fall off hard. You know, I went from how I really viewed and used it, and when I logged back in, I found that I was using it a lot less. Wasn't looking at the same kind of stuff I was looking at before, and kind of put things back into perspective for me. So even just doing like a 3-day detox is useful. And you don't have to delete your app to do that. I mean, you could maybe just move it from your home screen or delete it off of your phone. You don't have to necessarily close your account. But just having a weekend of not using Instagram felt pretty good. And I'm happy I did it. And, you know, I don't have any plans to go off the app again. But it has made me think more critically about how I do it. Interesting enough, right around the same time, I saw that, you know, Max was taking the month off, Max Schaff, 4Q, from Instagram. It's his birthday month, and he said, you know, I'm taking a month off. So it's refreshing. You don't even realize how much time you spend on it. It's crazy. But anyway, enough about that crap. I don't know. You guys want to talk about choppers? Should we do it? Rode my chopper to work today. First time I've ridden it in 3 weeks. We've had a lot of snow and salt and ice and all things that I don't want to ride a motorcycle in. I'm going to take a drink of coffee here. Dead air. So I haven't been getting much riding in. It's winter time. Temperatures have been in the 20s and 30s. So we got a rainstorm coming in, which gave us some warm weather. It's not pretty, but it's warm, and I'll take it. So I rode the chopper in today. When I built this chopper, you know, it was partially about having a bike that was electric start, with a fast motor, good brakes, good exhaust, you know. So performance-wise, everything is there with the exception of suspension. It's a hardtail still. So it's still not an FXR by any means. But compared to most choppers that I've owned and ridden, it's a lot of fun. They're all fun. But it's fun because it's fast and it actually stops. So I can go fast, and I can brake when I need to. And commuting and being in traffic, it's It's awesome. My shovel head that, well, I've had a lot of shovel heads. The last shovel head that I built was a 96-inch, 98-inch something stroker, and it was fast. But all I had was a rear mechanical brake, which locked up and stopped just fine. But you got to ride differently when you don't have a front brake. You got to be scanning way ahead, going slower, because it's just too easy to lock up a tire. Now you're in a skid, and if you're skidding, you ain't stopping. So, yeah, having the dual disc and the rear disc set up, really nice. I really enjoy it. The seat that I got is actually a Sportster seat for TC Brothers Rigid Sportsters. Fit my frame great. Didn't have to tweak it at all. It's held on with Velcro. It's holding on great. So no complaints there. You know, I'm not sponsored by anybody, but I definitely appreciate that there's companies out there now like TC Bros and even Lowbrow, which is a topic that I kind of want to talk about, but it's kind of a can of worms that maybe I don't want to talk about yet. But maybe I'll save that for another episode. But, you know, the smaller companies especially, you know. And it's a hard market to support choppers, I mean, because trends change so fast and it's a small market. Even though there's probably more choppers on the road right now than there ever has been, you can't compare that to other, you know, like enthusiast motorcycle groups. Like, we're a small demographic compared to the Dyna guys or the people that want to be like the Dyna guys. You know, so it's cool that there's still companies out there supporting us and making parts, you know. Obviously, you know, when it comes to seats, there's a lot of seat makers out there that are, you know, small one or two person operations doing it out of small shops. And obviously I love to support them. I've bought probably 4 seats from River Seat Company, which is our local. You know, and Adam's good dude, lives locally. I like to support him. On this particular bike, I went with a 2C Bro seat just because I needed something right away. Might still change it later, I don't know, but I'm pretty happy with the seat, so probably not. Where else was I going with that? I got a jet flying over right now, so kind of threw my train of thought off. I have another drink of coffee here. So yeah, that's a lot of ums. I posted a picture up of the chopper if you've not seen it before. And I like to mix styles from different eras. So, you know, rather than build a period correct shovel head with all 1970s parts, you know, I wanted modern, semi-modern convenience. On this bike. So, you know, I didn't use a lot of used parts on it. And I talked about that when I was talking about the shop. You hear the planes flying over? The airbase has been pretty busy lately. But yeah, so things that wouldn't necessarily be on like a, you know, tough guy style bike would be like a sissy bar. Sissy bars are definitely more of a traditional chopper thing than what guys were doing in the 70s and 80s. So, you know, like when I look at it, I see like that mix of things, and I could do a couple things to change it up and make it look more like a 60s style, 70s style bike, you know, like with the upsweep pipes and cocktail shaker mufflers. If I ran those, would totally change the bike, right? Maybe some buckhorns or ape hangers or something would change it up. But with the combination of the mag wheels, the 13 spoke up front, yeah, it's just kind of that mix of things. You know, the sissy bar is there because I take road trips and I camp and I need a place to put my camping gear. So I like that it's got that mix of style to it. It's not a cookie cutter, you know, I'm going to build a 1966 Bird-Dew style chopper or a 1982, you know, Denver's two-wheelers MC style chopper or whatever. It's just what it is. But I like it. I like riding it. It's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to putting some miles on it this summer. And maybe even the spring. I might be riding that to Daytona for bike week. But, you know, it's kind of boring to talk about my bikes. I'd rather talk about your bikes. I kind of miss doing the interview formats. Should maybe do that. Get some interviews on here. But that's really all I got for now. Just trying to stay consistent and do these once a week, even if I don't have anything planned to talk about. But I do have some ideas of things that I would like to do in the future. And rather than tell you about them, you'll just have to wait and log in and or do whatever you do to get your podcasts and wait to hear it. But might have something cooler for you next week. I'm working on something. All right. But anyway, thanks for checking in and go do something fun. Hopefully you get to get a good weather in, a good weather day and get some riding in. Oh, yesterday was Groundhog's Day, and apparently there's only 6 more weeks of winter, so that's good news, right? But we'll see. There's only a 35 to 40% chance of it being right, according to what I read, so hopefully. All right, I'm out of here. Later.